Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vamanadeva continued, because of Bali Maharaj's great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Savarni. Purport. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigods cannot even dream. There are many examples of this in the history of devotional service. One of them is the opulence of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra suffered severe material scarcity, but he was not disturbed and did not deviate from devotional service. Thus, he was ultimately given an exalted position by the mercy of the Lord. Here, in this verse, the word mat ashraya is very significant, because the Lord wanted to give Bali Maharaj the exalted position of Indra. The demigods might naturally have become envious of Bali and might have fought to disturb his position. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamanadeva, assured Bali Maharaj that he would always remain under the Lord's protection, Madashraya. Because Srila Prabhupada, in the Sanskrit of this verse, Lord Vamanadeva uses the word Madashraya. Ashraya. What is the meaning of ashraya? Ashraya means shelter. Ashraya means protection. But ashraya also means resting place. So Prabhupada took this word, marashraya, and he translated it as meaning tolerance. And so he starts a verse by saying, he glorifies Bali Maharaj, Vamanadeva is speaking this, because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place that is not obtainable even by the demigods. Actually, the verse itself, it reads, Mad Ashraya. Because Vamanadeva has taken full shelter in me, I have given him a place that's not even equal to the, it surpasses the position of the demigods. So Prabhupada makes a very nice point. He takes this Mad Ashraya, which means resting place, protection, and shelter. And he says, because of his tolerance. So one point that's made in this verse is by having one quality, you will get dushprapam. The word there is dushprapam. Prapam means prapti. Prapti means to acquire, to attain, to achieve. And dush means very difficult. So Vamanadeva says, stanam dushprapam. Stanam means place. Means place. Like we have Leela Stali, Rasa Stali, Krishna Vamsivad. These are stanam. Stanam means places of Krishna's pastimes. So this is also a stanam. This is Sitaram's stanam. Radhaparta Sarathi's stanam. This is their Leela Stanam, a place of their pastimes. Krishna has come into this world in this form of the Archamurti to engage in pastimes. So the Archamurti, the Lord has descended as His Archamurti here in this stanam, this Leela stanam of Hare Krishna Hill, to engage in pastimes. So Vamanadeva is saying in this verse, stanam dushprapam. He's saying that you can attain a very difficult to attain place. You can attain a place which is very difficult to attain. How will you attain that place? If you have this quality of tolerance. Prabhupada said, because of his tolerance, Bali Maharaj was able to attain this wonderful position of having the Lord, Vamanadeva, become his doorman on an opulent planet, Sutala Loka. So this is the one message of the verse, that if a devotee can develop this quality of tolerance, he can achieve the topmost destiny. So, how do we develop tolerance? Or what is tolerance? What does it mean to be tolerant? We see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains tolerance. We see that Kapila Dev, he explains, when he's asked by his mother, Mother Kunti asked Kapila, what is a sadhu? What are the lakshana, the characteristics of a saintly person? How can I judge when I meet a saintly person? Because I meet so many people in this world. How do I know when I meet a saintly person? So then Kapila Dev, he answered the question of his mother Kunti by saying, Titikshava Kurunika, Titikshava Kurunika, Suridam Savadehanam. First word that Kapila said was Titikshava. Titikshava means tolerant. And Karunika, he's merciful. So Prabhupada said these are the two primary qualities of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is a devotee of Vishnu or Krishna. A Krishna devotee, a Krishna bhakta. He is tolerant and he's compassionate. Karuna. Because ultimately, at least in our line, we are devotees of Radha and Krishna. We worship Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada established the deities of Radha and Krishna all over the world. So this quality of Karuna is represented, it's a shakti, it's a potency, it's a power, the power of mercy, the power of compassion, power of intelligence, vidya, shakti, Karuna, shakti. So the shakti mayi is Radharani. So Radharani, she is this compassionate nature. So because we're devotees of Radha and Krishna, we start to imbibe the qualities of Radha and Krishna in a very minute degree. One in quality, but not in quantity. That is the oneness of the jiva. So Krishna has the quality of Karuna, and he has the quality of Titikshava. So by becoming Krishna's devotee, and that's what the beautiful philosophy that Prabhupada explains here, Vamanadeva says, Madashraya. And then Prabhupada translates Madashraya to mean by tolerance. So Bali became a great devotee and received a great reward because he took shelter of the Lord and exhibited the quality of tolerance, which is one of Krishna's qualities. So this tolerance, what does it mean? It means, of course, it's a saintly quality, and it means that you endure, it means you endure all kinds of difficulties. Because to live in this material world, we as jivas, living in this material world, we must face many irritating circumstances. We must face many embarrassing and irritating circumstances, which will agitate our mind and disturb us. And we may respond by becoming angry, fighting, cursing, yelling, and so many profanities we may utter. But this is due to the pushing of Rajagun and Tamagun. The pushing of passion and ignorance makes one respond in an intolerant way. But a sadhu or devotee is supposed to be tolerant. He is supposed to endure all difficulties. And Krishna tells Arjuna the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Matra sparshas tukonteya shitoshna shukadukada agama payano nityas tam satikshashvabharata. So now, in this verse, shito, ushna. So shito means cold, no? And ushna means heat. So now we had the cold. The cold was here in Delhi. Oh, it's very cold. Oh, Prabhu. Everyone was, all December, January, everyone was talking. It is so cold, it's so cold, it's so cold. I went to Puri to get away from the cold. Oh, I went to Madras. I went to Bombay. I went here and there. Now it's hot. Ushna. Shitoshna. Shukadukadha. Shukadukadha. These seasons, these mosam, they're sukamosam and dukamosam. Happy times, happy season, and bad times, bad season. So now it's ushna, now it's grishma, it's very hot. Oh, Prabhu, it's so hot. Do you know yesterday it was 40 degrees? Oh, it's so hot. I have to go to Missouri. I have to go to Missouri, I have to go to Hill Station. Let me get out of here. My air conditioner broke. Oh, I'm suffering so much. So now everyone simply talks about these things. But the devotee, he tolerates and goes on with his service for the Lord. Because he gets strength by Madhashraya. by taking shelter of the Lord. So there's an interplay. Rather, there's a connection, a very important connection between tolerance, developing tolerance, exhibiting tolerance, which is a spiritual quality, the quality of a saintly person. There's an intimate relationship between attaining this quality of tolerance and madashraya, taking shelter of Krishna. So ashraya, this is a very important term. This is madashraya, my ashraya, my shelter. But as I mentioned in the introduction, that the word ashraya also means position. So the acharyas explain, as long as we are not in our natural position, we will be intolerant. We will be agitated. We will be disturbed. And they give the example, two examples they give, the acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, Srila Prabhupada, our great acharyas, Srila Jiva Goswami. A man goes on a vacation, chuti, and with his wife, and he travels to Singapore and Fiji and Australia, and he goes all over the place. But he's not really happy till he comes back home. When he comes back to his home and he's in his natural position and his natural habitat, then he feels quite peaceful. I'm home, sweet home. I'm happy. Although I wanted to travel, I had to see my relatives in Australia, and I went there, and I enjoyed many sights and sounds, and it was very pleasurable, but I was always a little uneasy, and I was always a little bit in anxiety, and I was not very satisfied or happy. But when I came home, so when one is in his natural position, that is called ashraya. So the living entity, the jiva, the jivatma, that is placed in this material body, he's in a foreign situation. He's on a holiday. The jiva's gone on a holiday in this material body. But he's not in his natural home, so he's always irritated. The jiva in this body is always irritated and disturbed and agitated by different circumstances. But when that jiva is placed, when the jiva returns to his original position, that is the meaning of ashraya. To be in one's original position. And when you are in your original position, then what do you exhibit? All the proper, pure qualities of the soul. The spiritual qualities of Tatik Shiva. Tolerance. And so many other qualities. So this is the meaning of ashraya, to come to one's natural position. So how do you come to your natural position? Because the soul in this body, that is not the natural position. And there's so many problems, everyone knows. So you have to find someone, you have to find some teacher or some person who is situated in a natural position. In other words, he has taken madashraya. That person has taken shelter of Krishna. And that's explained in the prayers of Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. That this is the way to get out of this material world, to go back to the safe shore, to the safe harbor, the natural position of spiritual life. So this verse explains that. Samashrita ye parapalava plavam mahatparam punya yusho murare pravam budir vatsa param 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 vivi param natesham. Lots of param. Lots of param there. So here, Lord Brahma is saying, samashrita ye parapalava plavam. He says that great devotees of the Lord, great personalities, sama, ashrita. Sama means all, complete. They take complete shelter of whom? Sadhus, saints, gurus, acharyas, they take and devotees, pure devotees, they take complete shelter of Murari. Samasrita ye parapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murari. Yasho murari, Yashoda Nandan. That famous personality, Krishna, Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. They take shelter there, complete shelter. And what does it mean to take shelter of Murari, of Krishna? It means that parapalava. Pada means feet, as you know. Pada means feet. Vishnupad, Prabhupad, the feet of Prabhupad, the feet of Vishnu. Sara Pallava. Pallava. What does Pallava mean? Pallava means bud, flower bud. So, Pada Pallava Plavam. The feet of Murari. Krishna's feet are very sweet. Pada Madhuram, like Vallabhacharya, his beautiful song, Madhurashtakam. In Madhurashtakam, he explains all the different sweet features of Krishna. Lila Madhuram, Gava Madhuram, Venum Madhuram, Pada Madhuram. So he says, Pada Madhuram. So Krishna's feet are Pallava. Means they're like the bud. They're like the bud of a lotus flower. His feet are very tender. And they're pink. They're pink in color. When a lotus flower is growing in the water, when it first appears as a bud, before it opens, it's called a bud. Pallava. And it's very pink in color. So the bottom of Krishna's feet is very pink and it's very tender. But those feet are compared, Pada, Pallava, Plavam. Plavam means boat, like a ship or a boat. So the pure devotees of the Lord, they have taken full shelter at the feet of Krishna. And his feet are just like the petal of a lotus flower. You can take the petal of a lotus flower and you can put it in the lake. And it will float along in the lake. It will just stay on the surface of the water and move here and there. So, bhavam buddhir vatsapadam param param. The great devotees take full shelter of Krishna. They put their mind on the feet of Krishna. They always remember Krishna's feet. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor. Vachamsi vaikuntha gunar navarnane. Ambarish Maharaj, Savai mana Krishna pad. Savai mana Krishna pad. Ambarish Maharaj, he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and then when his mind was fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, then what came out of his mouth? Vachamsi Vaikuntha Guna. Vacha. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha. So, when one has Krishna in his mind, then Krishna is in his mouth. Krishna Mana Krishna Mukha. If Krishna is in the mind, Krishna is in the mouth. And then, Vacha Vaikuntha Guna. You will speak about the qualities of the spiritual world. You will speak about the qualities of spiritual people. And when you hear about and think about and speak about, you will become that which you think about. You will become spiritual. You will become pure. So this is the verse that's describing the activities of Ambarish Maharaj. So, devotee places his mind there, he takes full shelter of Krishna, and then he develops all the saintly qualities of tolerance, and then he easily crosses the bhava ambudhi. Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param param. This material world is called bhava, material existence, and is compared to an ocean, bhavasagara, bhavasagara, bhavasindhu, right? We have that prayer we sing by Govindadas Kaviraj. What is it? Bajahure mana Sri Nandanandana Abhayacharanaravindare. It says Bhavasindhu, Bhavasindhure. He said this material existence is like a sindhu. It is vast, unlimitedly wide like the vast ocean, and unlimitedly deep like the ocean. But that vast ocean of the material existence becomes as small as a vatsa padam. You know vatsa? Like you have Gaia, Gaia, big cow, Gaika. Big cow, then you have a baby cow, it's called Vatsa. Just like in Krishna book, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Das Skanda, there was one Asura, and he dressed himself as a Vatsa. It's called Vats Asura. He dressed himself he became a baby cow, and he tried to mix up with Gopal and Dauji. Dauji and Gopal and Sridham and Subal. He tried to mix up with them and catch them. But Krishna immediately saw him. He tried to disguise himself as a representative of Dharma. He had all the trappings of Dharma. He had a cow's body, but he was actually a demon. And there's a very deep purport to all of that. But anyway, this is Vatsa. So this whole vast ocean of material existence becomes as small as the water inside the hoof print of a calf. Vatsa padam. The foot of a calf, vatsapadam. So,
It's very difficult to cross this ocean. We cannot swim across it. We cannot walk across it. We cannot get across. It's impossible without some external means, by boat or ship. But when you take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, the boat of his lotus feet, Plavam, then you can cross this material ocean as easy as you can step over the hoof print of a calf. Vatsapadam. It's easy. So this is one point of this verse. As we take shelter of Krishna, then everything becomes very easy. But of course, it's very difficult to attain this sthanam, this topmost position that Bali Maharaj attained, this topmost position, dushprapram. It's very dushprapam. It says it's very difficult to achieve this mercy of the Lord. Very difficult. So how do we come to this position of Madashraya, where we can fully surrender to Krishna? We have to go to Guru. We go to Guru because he is that person who has this quality of Madashraya. Guru has completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Murari. So then what do? When we meet the spiritual master, then Gurupad Ashraya. Rupa Goswami explains Gurupad Ashraya, that we surrender at the lotus feet of Guru. Gurupad. Gurupad, Krishnapad, Vishnupad. So first we surrender to Guru. And then what does Guru give us? He gives us intelligence how to think of Krishna, and he engages us in devotional service. When we stay engaged in devotional service, we become pure. And we start to develop spiritual qualities like tolerance. Devotional service is so wonderful, so special, that simply by serving Krishna and coming under his shelter, his ashraya, madashraya, or protection, you will attain all perfection. Yogis, gyan yogis, mystic yogis, karma yogis, and Advaitins, and other spiritualists, they progress in their line. They make advancement in their line depending on their own qualities, depending on their own strength. They depend on their own power and strength. So, if there's some difficulty comes, if they have some difficulty, a yogi has difficulty, he only has himself to call out to. Oh, I have to increase my determination. Just like I think Kadamba Kanana Maharaj was speaking about determination. It's not by determination alone that we will attain the mercy, attain perfection. We need the descending mercy of the Lord also. So the yogi, there's some difficulty. My mind's becoming disturbed. My prarabdha karma is infecting me with some material desires. Oh, I have to increase my austerities, increase my determination. But still, we see he becomes defeated because he only has the power of himself, the power of his mind, the power of his determination. But what about us? What about the bhakti yogi? What about the devotee? Where is his power? We are simply surrendered to the Lord. We are surrendered souls, madashraya. And he promises us protection. In the 11th canto, it explains that this process of devotional service is so great and so purifying and protecting that even if you run down the path, you're on the path of devotional service, and even if you run down the path blindly, you run down the path blindly of devotional service, you will not stumble and you will not fall. Because Krishna is there to protect you. When a devotee has difficulty, when he's attacked by the material energy, he's attacked by his karma, he's attacked by greed, he's attacked by lust, or he's attacked by envy, and he feels overwhelmed, then he simply throws his hands up, "Hey Krishna, hey Bhagavan, please help me." Because generally if one is running down a path and he's blind, then he'll fall in a ditch if his eyes are blind. Because the acharyas explain that there are two eyes. There's two eyes for the spiritualist. Shruti and Smriti. Smriti Chakshu and Shruti Chakshu. These are the two eyes for the spiritualist. So running down the path blindly means being in ignorance. Being in ignorance. You're in ignorance about the tattva. You're in ignorance about the Siddhanta. You're in ignorance about God, about Srishti Tattva, about Prema Tattva, Leela Tattva, all these different truths you're ignorant about. But if you're in the path of Gyan, if you're in the path of Yoga, and the path of Gyan and Karma, you can't be ignorant. You can't be blind. You have to know exactly all the yama, niyama, all the siddhanta, all the shrutis, smritis. You have to study the Vedanta sutras over and over and over again. You can't go into that path blind because you'll crash. You'll be destroyed. But the path of bhakti, even if you run down blindly down the path, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you will not stumble and you will not fall because you are protected by the Lord. And Sridhar Swami explains in the commentary in this verse, and it's in our Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, that even if a devotee, because this blindness, the acharyas say, if you're blind on the path, but a devotee may be blind, as I mentioned, which means ignorant. Blindness is like ignorance. You can't see the world. You don't know the world. You don't know where you're going. So even if a devotee, a neophyte Kanishta devotee, is blind about the spiritual truths, but if he's sincere about serving Guru and surrendering to Guru and just carrying out his service, chanting nicely every day, reading nicely every day, serving the Vaishnavas in a humble, pure way, serving Gurudev, and giving to others whatever you've realized about Krishna consciousness, just by doing that, he will get everything. That's why it says he will not stumble and he will not fall. Because behind the devotee is Krishna, the Paratattva, the supreme reality. But behind the yogi, there's the yogi. Behind the jnani, there's the jnani. Behind the karmi, there's the karmi. There's nobody behind them but them. But behind the devotee, there's the Krishna. Just like sometimes you have a big brother, and you go when you're playing in school, and somebody's picking on you, and they're hitting you and slapping you. So then you go home and you tell your brother, "Hey, in school these guys are giving me a hard time." So then you bring your big brother, and you say, "Hey, my brother's here. Oh, excuse me. Very sorry. I didn't mean to slap you around. Very sorry." So behind the devotee is Krishna. So Krishna, he gives the eye, he gives the knowledge. All we need is priti purvakam. Priti purvakam means we need some affection. We need affection for God. We need feelings for God. We need love for God. And this is explained. Sridhar Swami quotes this verse. Tesham sadata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Dadami, dadami, buddhi yogam tam, yenamam upyanti te. Krishna says, dadami, ami, I give buddhi, intelligence. To whom? Do I give intelligence to the yogi, karmi, jnani? Yes, also he's giving. everything is coming from Krishna, no doubt. But to the devotee who is priti purvakam, who's actually trying to serve with love. If you're serving Krishna with 5% love, then Krishna will give you 5% intelligence. If you're serving Krishna with 100% of everything you have, that's real priti. Full love and surrender, then Krishna gives you all intelligence to come to him. Madashraya. So this is the great fortune of the devotee, that he serves the Lord always, and the Lord guarantees his protection. And the Lord guarantees to give him all that he requires. So these are some of the points of this verse, taking shelter of Krishna and tolerance. So this, we will all be tested on this quality. Because Bali Maharaj achieved a position that's very difficult to achieve by tolerance and taking shelter of the Lord. So we don't want to attain a material planet or material opulence. We want to attain the eternal spiritual planet, the topmost planet in the spiritual world, where Radha and Krishna reside, Braja Gokul, Goloka Vrindavan. That is the sthanam. Sthanam dushprapam. Sthanam dushprapam. We want to attain that most difficult, rarest to attain place, the spiritual world of Radha and Krishna.